From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we are pleased and honored to be joined by the Bishop of the Diocese of Stockton, Bishop Myron Cotta. Bishop, good day to you.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Doing very, very
long
well.
Long time no visit.
It has been a long time no visit.
It has been a while.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, it's been a... Well, I know for some people it's been a very, very hard year, and some of us, if we're lucky enough to stay well, maybe it's been an inconvenient year, but it's been different. But I can tell you, I know from a family standpoint, boy, we've had a lot of great family time, we've had a lot of great faith time, we've had a lot of time to pray.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was kind of glad to take the calendar off the wall for 2020 and put up the new one for 2021. Yes, and, literally turn a page here, I guess, for us, and hopefully things start lightening up and we get back to being healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. I think at the end of the year, it was interesting. We put a little video together, our communications person here, and it was a little overview of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was around our Christmas virtual gathering this year we had. And at the end, it kind of pulled everything together. And it was very interesting as reflecting how we could be overcome by all of the craziness of things and the busyness of things and the anxiety of things and forget about the blessings that took place in the midst of it all.
Yeah.
And so it was a great way to kind of pull everything together and to say, God continues to bless and guide us, and some great things went on in the diocese while we were in the midst of this, and still are in the midst of the pandemic. But we have to focus on the positive and be hopeful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our faith is all about hope. I know I tell my kids, we have four teenagers, and they're all, in virtual learning and et cetera. And I say, God has not left the building. He's still here. He's with us. And we're made for this time. He knew we were going to be here when this was going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And he, of course, is going to give us the graces that we need to face what has been laid before us. He's not going to cause us to be short-handed. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
he will empower us to face the present moment and the challenges of the moment.
I remember, Bishop, long ago, my dad telling me when I was quite young, saying, God will never give you more than you can handle.
He might stretch you a little bit. It might hurt, but we'll get through it.
I think I had just fallen off my bicycle trying to learn.
Yes, there you go. Little scratches and bruises.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got up and you learned how to ride.
Exactly. So for those that don't know, Bishop Cotta, a native of the Diocese of Fresno, was the auxiliary bishop here in the Diocese of Sacramento and is now the bishop of the Diocese of Stockton. So you've just about covered the whole Central Valley.
Yes, from Reading all the way to Bakersfield.
Yeah, that's one of the longest valleys. And I tell my kids that all the time. This is a tremendous valley with beautiful mountains on the east side and even on the west side. The Coast Range is quite beautiful,
exactly.
And then just the breadbasket truly of the world.
Right. There's a lot of territory within the three valley, Central Valley dioceses. Yes, we cover a lot of area, and Sacramento beyond the valley, all the way to Oregon. So, but a great experience being up there and getting to familiar with the northern end of the state and the San Sacramento Valley, and a little different from the San Joaquin Valley in different aspects, but.
Mm-hmm.
Makes up the Central Valley. So, and very blessed to continue to do ministry within familiar ground, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
So many of the issues, they're similar, but as you say, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
But we have great wealth in the valley. We have and in the mountains, and we don't want to forget the mountains. There's a lot of mountains, and they cover all these dioceses as well, and a lot of great poverty, a lot of very hardworking people. Immigration is a huge issue, and an enormous number of Catholics in this stretch of California.
Right. You know, and to see in the midst of this challenging times we've had, you know, people are just so good. I mean, they have really cooperated and just really have been team players in all that's been asked of them. And from, you know, the way we do liturgy to supporting the parishes, supporting the diocese, all of that. I mean, people have persevered, and it's been, again, a tremendous, you know, hopeful thing again, a good thing to see that people continue to love the church and support it.
Yeah, and really long for the day when we can go back. Go back to, I guess, last March when it really, really hit us all.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you have to adjust? Did you have to just close your churches down, or were you able to have some, you know, small amount of attendance? How did that work?
Well, at the very beginning, we were all shut down.
Yeah.
But, you know, my whole, you know, rallying cry, I guess, if you want to say that, was, you know, the doors might be closed, but we're open for business.
Right.
And so, you know, ministry continued to the best that we could. And then eventually we were able to get back in, and then we were out and back in now. And this last, you know, just this week, I guess, or what was it? No, last Friday?
Yep.
And the news that we'd be able to get back in the church was answered prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are fatigued with this, and the priests and the bishop and all of us, the bishops, trying to oversee all this. And because so much of it doesn't make sense, you know, when you're trying to logically think this through. But no, we went through the whole process like that, the in and out thing, and as all the dioceses did. And it was a little more challenging in California, I think, for us.
Right.
And so, but to be back in, you know, is hopeful. And again, to offer, in the way of liturgy, worship, the alternatives, you know, still being outdoors,
right.
Still live streaming, because some people are, you know, still hesitant and kind of concerned and maybe have some vulnerabilities there health-wise, mm-hmm. that they'd rather just stay home. And so... So that all those options are good. So pastorally speaking, I think we continue to try to cover those bases, you know, in a very creative way. And so that people know that, again, the doors are open. You know, you can come in and visit Jesus mm-hmm. in the Blessed Sacrament. You can come in and pray your rosary.
Right.
It's not like you're shunned from the churches. It was just at the very beginning, when the initial shutdown, then the doors were basically closed. But after that, you know, we continue to have our doors open for people just to make their private visits.
You know,
so it was helpful, you know, to people because, again, as far as I'm concerned, we're essential, you know, in the well-being of a person, of the human being, and what spirituality, what God's grace, what the sacraments, what the church has to offer, the faith has to offer, I mean, helps to support the individual in these unusual times.
Oh,
I mean,
my.
I don't know how people manage without God in their life, facing all the challenges that this has, you know, laid before us, you know, as families. And I mean, my gosh.
You hit the nail on the head. My wife and I were having that very conversation a couple of weeks ago, like, what would we do if we didn't have our belief in God, if we didn't have our faith? The challenges might, they might just overtake you without that faith. It's like, it really, and it's not because we need it, it's because it's true, you know? I mean, it's not something we're leaning on just because for some psychological reason. It's the truth.
Right.
God is with us. And
yeah, he sustains us.
He then sustains us, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then again, I think as you said at the very beginning when we started our little visit here, you know, the importance of, you know, how this has encouraged us to be more prayerful, more Christ-centered,
yeah.
more God-centered. and to kind of really evaluate, you know, where we are as a family, where we are as individuals, where we are as a couple, where we are as a bishop, where we are as a priest, in the midst of it all. And yeah. that we do not lose sight of, you know, what we're called to do. Yeah.
I one highlight in the last 11 months was one Sunday morning when our 15-year-old son out of nowhere said, "I miss going to Mass." You don't always hear that from a 15-year-old.
No, you don't. Kudos to you, I'll tell you, as a parent.
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful.
It was music to our ears for sure.
And of course, that's one of our concerns. You know that, you know, the youth who are maybe already straddling the fence. You know,
yep.
did this just to do it for them, or are they going to come back? And then how do we do that? How do we make it inviting and welcoming? You know, how do they see this as being an asset in their life,
right.
something that, you know, is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, you know. Encounter them in such a way that worshiping is important here in our lives.
Yeah, you know, parents, we walk that fine line of and clergy too, the same line about making something a have to when it should be something a want to. You know, we should want to do this, and yet as parents, there are times we tell our kids we're doing this whether you like it or not. Fortunately, going to Mass, we haven't had that. You know, I mean, there's the usual reluctance sometimes on a Sunday morning to get out of bed, I guess. But it's a difficult line to walk sometimes. This is something that will sustain you. Throughout, I mean, you know, and it's right there in Scripture. Somebody pointed out to me the other day that if you bring them up right, it will stay with them. You know, maybe they'll roam a little bit, maybe they'll you know wander, but they'll come back.
Yeah, there is, it's that whole, I guess, that idea of kind of the planted seeds,
right.
you know, the faith. You know, some things that we'll never forget. You know, be it during our religious education experience, or be it Catholic school experience, or just individuals in our life, be it family and friends that you know helped plant seeds and through our life experience, that we say we'll never forget that those kind of little faith
yep.
experiences, those encounters that they stay with you,
yep.
you know, from childhood. But you know, again, for us here, and as far as you know, my vision for the diocese, it's all about the new evangelization, and it's about, you know, catechesis,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about the encounter with Christ and knowing him, and he truly, you know, one having truly a relationship with him, and that he's truly Lord of our lives, and he sets the tempo, he sets the whole thing for us, and in every aspect of our life, just not a Sunday thing, just not going to Mass thing, it's just not going to a Catholic school thing, but where is the personal encounter relationship with him every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's authentic, if that's rooted, if that's ongoing conversion, then you're going to want to worship. You're going to want to give him thanks. You're going to want to adore him. You're going to want to get to know him more so by way of the scriptures, for example. And so the whole kernel of all this is relationship with him. That one-on-one with him. And so it's just not the head knowledge, but it's, you know, connecting with the heart
yep.
and putting it into action then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
We're with Bishop Myron Cotta, the bishop of the Diocese of Stockton. What have been your biggest challenges during the pandemic?
I think the biggest challenge was the outreach to parishes, and then again, the whole aspect of the schools, the Catholic schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to be able to really continue to offer Catholic education with this hybrid virtual type of thing, this remote learning? Is this going to go? But thanks be to God, we were really prepared for that as an alternative way to go. So the transition over was pretty smooth while everything else was shutting down around us, you know, in the way of education. So we had something to offer. And then, of course, the other big thing was parishes for them to survive.
Right.
You know, financially even, it's like you have to reach out to the people. You have to be pastoral. You have to see how they're doing. Is there any way we can help you at this time? So it's touching base. You know, again, the accompaniment Pope Francis keeps talking about. We can't just leave people to kind of figure it out on their own. We're the church here on mission to reach out to those that need support and compassion and somebody to listen to them maybe. And so, you know, phone calls, that type of thing was very important. But try to get that off the ground. Some parishes, they really got with it. Other parishes, a little more challenging. But I would say the outreach has been, and it's still ongoing, but it's very vital here for where we're going to be, you know, a year from now, really. But it's moving in a good direction, but it has to be a team effort. That's all there is to it.
I can imagine, as a bishop, you're such a public figure, not only, you know, a civic public figure, really. You're part of the community, but also with each parish, you know, parishes celebrate when the bishop comes, you know, and I'm sure you had to curtail some of that.
Yeah, last year was a big hole, I guess, in the Episcopal experience, you know, not having the confirmations, for example.
Right.
So you didn't have that personal contact. There were a lot of activities, fundraising activities, parish events, things like that. There was just, as everybody, you know, suffered, that social part of ministry being present to the other was kind of just yanked out. And so I think for all of us as priests and also as, you know, as bishops, I think that left a big hole in the area of pastoral ministry. So, of course, the alternative was, you know, what are you doing on Zoom meetings? How are you reaching out? Videos you put together that you're trying to get your message out, sending, you know, notes out, reflections out, whatever it means of kind of saying, here is ongoing ministry, but we're just doing a little bit differently because I can't physically be present there. But this year now, in fact, later this afternoon, there's a meeting with our evangelization and faith formation person and our liturgy and office of worship person about confirmations this year. And then now with the restrictions being lifted, and now it's going to give more flexibility of being present this time around. Maybe, of course, limited. But again, you still have the outdoor venue, weather permitting type of a thing. So, so you know, there's a little more light at the end of the tunnel here this year for confirmation schedule. I'm glad that we're going to talk about the possibilities and if being present at at least one confirmation in a parish, they might have two other ones, but at least one can maybe be there and then delegate the others to the pastor.
Right, right. And that's your option.
Yes.
Yeah. So with where you are now with the Supreme Court ruling, et cetera, what's your directive now to your parishes in terms of people coming back?
Well, they're able to come back in 25% capacity of the church, so we're not limited to the 100, which is another good thing, but depending on how big your church is, I guess,
the
percentage, it might work against, the smaller
the
ones.
Small ones,
That's the only thing. And then all the guidelines are there because we've been in and out, okay, in the church, out of the church, back in the church. So all those guidelines and safeguards for health concern and all of that are still in place. And so we're emphasizing the importance of continuing to be a good example in setting that and practicing that inside the churches. And so we, you know, continue with all those guidelines. The only thing that, you know, in this decision was no singing or chanting, which, again, is a whole other issue. You know, because I really believe it's more the concern for congregational singing,
yeah,
you know, is where that could have an impact. But, you know, you have a cantor off by himself and and somebody playing the organ and or the priest at the altar chanting, you know, maybe a mass part or two. But the majority of the mass would be recited. So, but again, chanting and singing and all that adds to the liturgy.
Sure
so
does.
Having
yeah.
that element kind of missing kind of, you know, doesn't help to embellish what happens there, I guess is the word. But, hey, we're back in the church. So,
that's right.
You know,
that's the first step.
If we're dancing for a little while, okay. But some of that, I think, is, again, some common sense and what does that really mean and how safe you are. So it's not a huge blown choir. It isn't everybody singing in the pews. It's, you know, but it might be somebody chanting the responsorial psalm, you know. So we'll see with flexibility, but we'll follow that as best we can, yes.
Well, it is a step in the right direction, and, one day soon I think it's going to be 35% or 50%, and it seems as if maybe we've peaked and we're coming back down again. Hopefully that trend continues, and I think the vaccinations are yes. at some point they're going to solve all the distribution problems, and it seems as if things are picking up a little bit there as well. And I'm just very hopeful for the future. So, what about the Catholic schools? Have they been able to have in person?
Yes, we're doing kind of the hybrid thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some kids are on, certain groups are on, however they have it scheduled out,
right.
On a certain days of the week. We don't have everybody there at one time. And so we're working toward that. But the alternating of the days and all that, that's been working well. It's been challenging for our office here, all the extra work and the principals, you know, because it's, again, uncharted waters, let's say. And again, for the students themselves, you know, how engaged are they when they're having to be at home?
Mm-hmm.
But for families to know that their kids could be on campus, they are so relieved.
Yes.
You know, and so grateful. And it gives the family flexibility, especially the working parents, to be able to go to work and not be home having to, you know, supervise the kids and watch over them and making sure they're doing their studies, and I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know.
It varies from family to family, from kid to kid. Everybody has a little bit different living situation, and some kids are home alone, two parents working, or maybe grandma and grandpa are involved. Or an aunt or an uncle. It's a mixed bag, but I think our teachers and our principals, superintendents, nothing short of heroic.
Huge. Yeah. You know, you have the whole medical profession who are trying to deal with all the suffering and being overwhelmed, and then in education, yes, it's our teachers. They're the unsung heroes here that keep everything moving for us. And so we have been very blessed with the Catholic schools. I'm very proud of everybody and the extra effort that's gone into this. And again, the family support and patience in the midst of this. But yes, young people have to be with young people. They can't be constantly on a screen, and everybody's different, and their attention span is different. And so, you know, how effective is all of this on screen time, you know, and then there's a fatigue about that.
Yep.
And you kind of wonder, are there going to be any repercussions because of that, you know, in the development of a child too. So you have to be physically together with your friends, your classmates.
And yeah, there's
socializing aspect, you know, all that.
Yeah, there's a lot they're missing out on, but I think about a teacher who, we want you now to be a remote instructor. We know it's something you've never done before in your life, and now you're doing it, and.
Right.
They're still doing some of the in person. It's a job for 10 people, and one person is doing it.
Exactly. It's a lot of work. A lot of work.
The economy, obviously, that's a great concern. How has it been in the Diocese of Stockton in the last year or so?
Well, look, again, you know, people been hit up depending on what type of work they're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, agriculture, you know, the work is work. And you're going to have people out there, which, again, people who are getting ill, you know, and continue to go to work.
Yep.
Because, you know, they had to have food on the table.
Frontline essential workers.
Yes. Mm. And so all these farm workers and doing that type of work is essential stuff. And so, again, challenging for them, and they were, you know, kind of a desperate situation. I just have to go to work.
Right.
And I cannot stay home. So, you know, Catholic Charities has been very good about reaching out and mm-hmm. and supplying, you know, assistance in different ways that have been possible this year. So I've been very impressed with that, too, and many grants given to kind of help and that type of thing. But so monies have been there to kind of help people, also to kind of make it through their month, maybe. Other jobs, some people, you know, just converted working from
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
And so their job never ended for them. So
right.
it was kind of just depend where you are and what type of work you were doing, I guess. But there's a pinch in everything, you know. And so some of the assistance going out, you know, can that really help people? It's just that people just need to get back to work, you know.
Yeah. Well, and beyond the financial, the obviously from work, there's great dignity in work.
Right, exactly. The church teaches that.
Yeah.
You know, saying, well, again, the value of labor and the big deal again, Bob, is the dignity, the human dignity there.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you're cut off from that and now you're just at the receiving end, for example, you got to be just actively involved.
Absolutely.
And then it helps build up your self-esteem and your self-worth and your character and
yep.
all of that.
And the example for your family, you know.
For your family, too. So, you know, I would imagine, you know, the challenges for parents, too, if they're both working and now they're not working. And, you know, that's a big piece pulled out of their life experience and their role as parent, too, I guess, supporting, you know, by financially supporting their families. So, you know, all the psychological, emotional impact this has had is overwhelming in some situations. Yep.
It sure is. Well, Bishop Cotta, it's such a joy to talk with you. And
Bob, great talking with you. Hopefully everybody's doing well there at the Pastoral Center.
Yes, we are. We're everybody being very careful and
yes,
but
so are we here.
Still, you know, soldiering on and doing the good work that everybody here is assigned to do. And it's been a joy for me to still be able to be on the radio and to talk to people and hopefully that's helped some people a little bit, and it certainly helped me. I know just personally being able to go to work and
right.
spread the good news, you know, because it is good news.
It is good news.
Bishop,
that's the whole thing. Share the good news.
Yes, indeed.
Well, all Bishop, the positive things.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for all you do. And I know how much the people here miss you and how much the people in the diocese, both the Diocese of Sacramento and Fresno, and how much the people in the Diocese of Stockton love you. And so
I miss you. Always know you have your extended family,
yeah.
north of here and south of here.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. Actually, it's very comforting, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Yes, it's reassuring. It's a blessing.
How wonderful. Well,
say hello to Bishop Soto for me, too. You guys take care of him.
We sure will.
All right.
Thank you, Bishop.
Okay. Yeah. God bless you. Have a good Lent coming up.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
That's Bishop Myron Cotta, the bishop of the Diocese of Stockton, and was the auxiliary bishop here to Bishop Soto here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at the thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for that wonderful introduction. I should remind you, World Day of the Sick 2021 on February the 11th, the feast day in honor of Our Lady of Lourdes, annually commemorate World Day of the Sick. The Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother of Mercy, draws near to all those who suffer any bodily or spiritual affliction. She also joins her hands with all caregivers so the tender mercy of her Son may heal and console. We're welcoming in now Deacon Kevin Staskow. Deacon, good day to you.
Hey, how are you doing, Bob? Good to talk to you.
Doing very well. Still hanging in here, and I still remember after the terrible start, even to 2021, I saw a meme where somebody was saying, I got the trial subscription to 7-day trial subscription to 2021. How do I cancel?
But there you go.
Things
kind
are getting a little
mad.
Yeah. Things are getting a little better, and I'm optimistic. You know, we're going to have more people at Mass. The curve appears to be going down, the dreaded curve that had been climbing for so long. Vaccinations seem to be getting out there a little better, and I'm just very hopeful that things are going to turn around pretty darn soon.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm hopeful as well. You know, of course, we got to keep stay cautious, but you know, it's great that that the indoor Mass is back and at 25% capacity. So I know my wife works at St. Clair here in Roseville, and that means they can have up to 300 at Mass. So
yeah,
they're really excited about that, and I think you know, it'll make things a lot easier for people. And so that's great all around. Good news.
Yeah, I think that's a real pent up desire on a lot of people. For all aspects of our faith, but and certainly our faith doesn't go away, and you know, God knew we would be here. He put us here. He knew he put us here for this very moment. So we need to still rejoice in this moment.
Yeah, you know, my hope is, you know, that we'll look back at this time, and as we move forward, we're just going to really value community. We're going to really value these gatherings and savor them more, right? I think, you know, maybe we just took all this stuff for granted, and now maybe we won't take it for granted as much. You know, I think that, you know, when we're forced to, in some ways, for most people, you know, kind of forced to fast from the the Eucharist when we don't want to, you know, it's a hard thing. But hopefully it helps us be more grateful and, you know, have more appreciation for what we do have. And when we do have those family gatherings again, those big family gatherings again, to really, you know, to really savor and appreciate those in a different way, because we've had the experience of not being able to have them or it not being safe to have them. So, yeah, I hope that's what we can, you know, that's another thing we can take away from this time, you know, is you know, that appreciation for community and for others.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, indeed. So how is it affecting you and your department?
Well, I think we've talked about this a lot, is just the, you know, move to virtual and then really trying to help. You know, most of our job right now is encouraging the parish ministers to continue to reach out in whatever way they can. So we just had a conversation today with the youth ministry personnel from the youth department talking about how can we reach out meaningfully to the youth and young adult ministry leaders. How can we reach out to the confirmation coordinators? And we want to reach out to them to really encourage them to continue reaching out to the people they're supposed to be serving. So we've seen numbers drop in some of the youth ministries and some of the confirmation programs. Are we still reaching out to those kids that used to come? Are we still continuing to reach out to the larger community? Because our, you know, our goal of ministry and evangelization shouldn't stop just because we can't have the gatherings like we usually have them.
Yeah, you look ahead, so many things things that have been in person. How far out do you have to make a decision on some of these things, whether it's on fire or confirmations, et cetera, before you say, okay, well, there's a drop dead date here, and Camp Pendola, or and we can't do it in person.
Well, I think we have to make those decisions. You just make the best call you can. I think a lot of stuff we're just planning to have hybrid, so that even if we can't have it live, then we can still do the virtual component of it, right? So planning for a live component with a virtual add-on, and then if the live event can't happen, then we do virtual. So an example is our Fired Up event that's coming up in 3 weeks. We had originally just said we were going to do that up in Red Bluff, and our assumption is, well, Red Bluff, you know, in March, you know, this was, you know, for, you know, 10 months ago. You know, in March of next year, you know, Red Bluff is going to be it's not going to be in the purple. It'll be wide open, and we'll be able to have a live gathering. It'll be safe to do that. So, you know, because it won't be in Sacramento. Our assumption was it's only Sacramento that's going to be bad, so we're going to do it up there. So anyway, we've decided to go virtual with that event, you know, mostly because a lot of the speakers that we have coming, we're going to have to travel, and we didn't want to put them in that risk. They didn't feel comfortable coming in, so we're doing that whole thing virtually now. So, yeah, but we were always planning to do a hybrid where some of the kids would be live and the rest would be virtual. So now we've kind of shifted to a virtual event for that for now, because it's too long to gather in person. I mean, really, a religious service, should be no more than 90 minutes. It keeps people safe not being together longer than that. So we're not going to have the full conference, three-and-a-half-hour conference live. We're going to have that all virtually. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at On Fire in September, which is normally 3,000 kids at the amusement park, and we're all crammed together on bleachers, and we don't know if that's going to be possible or not. But we're planning to do that live. If not, we'll do and we're planning also to stream that in some way so that people can see the speakers and everything virtually. In case we can't have it live. So again, planning for both and then doing what we can based on, you know, where we're at with vaccinations and everything. That'll be in September. On Fire is scheduled for September 18th on a Saturday at Six Flags in Vallejo. And, we're working to plan that. We're also planning, we'll be making an announcement soon about Pendola. We have a bunch of options on the table and we have to decide. We won't be doing regular in-person camp, but we're looking at possibly doing family camp, virtual camp, day camps at the parishes and kind of a high adventure day camp for teenagers,
mm-hmm.
all put on by the regular Pendola staff, but not being able to do the traditional summer camp. But again, maybe possibly opening Pendola for like family camping.
So mm-hmm.
Families can come up together and, you know, mostly do activities on their own, same activities, but as a family. And then some gathered activities that are properly socially distanced during the month of July. So anyway, we're looking at that. We're trying to get final approval and all of that. But again, we're also offering the virtual camp option, day camp option. So there's different, again, having to look at our programming in a lot of different ways about how do we offer some of the same things and do them safely. And, you know, realizing that these programs are going to be, you know, shorter and, you know, less contact with others, which, you know, is the contrary to good ministry in our usual understanding of it. But, you know, we're doing what we can given the times and given the circumstances.
Yeah, you know, Deacon, I wonder, there's this pent up where a lot of people just they can't wait to, you know, go out to dinner in a crowded restaurant or go to mass with every packed to the rafters and everybody singing. And then there's going to be another element that even when it's nothing but green lights are going to just say, I'm not comfortable doing that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I say to my family sometimes, remember that time we got on that crowded airplane and then we went to a crowded football game and then we went to a crowded restaurant after the football, and you go, I can't imagine we would ever do that again. You know, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the sad part of this, right? Like that, you know, that you have to be so nervous about
yeah.
all that stuff. You know, I do think, you know, I had done a homily, you know, a year or two ago where I was talking about, you know, when I went to the grocery store, you know, I remember a time when I used to go to the grocery store and it was a lot more social. You'd talk to people and you'd chat
oh, yeah.
about things and, you know, everybody wasn't in a hurry and everybody wasn't wearing headphones and,
yeah.
you know, and I was just sharing how, you know, my usual grocery store routine is, you know, wear my headphones, you know, have my list, try to get through the store as quick as possible.
Yeah.
If I don't have to talk to anyone, you know, I started going late at night so I wouldn't run into anyone,
yeah.
right, that
yeah.
I do, right? And so that idea that, you know, that we're avoiding contact with people because we're just too busy, right? And now we have on top of, you know, so that became kind of the cultural norm. Like, if you made eye contact with everyone at the grocery store and asked them about their family, people would think you were creepy or something,
yeah, exactly.
right? So, but in the past, that might have been, you know, how we did it, right? So we had more time, we were less, you know, focused and less, you know, less suspicious of people. Well, now we're, you know, even worse, right? So, like, that was the trend before. Now you go to the grocery store, you know, you got to wear your mask and
yeah.
stay really far away from people. If someone comes, you know, within 6 feet of you, you know, you give them a weird look. And, you know, it's like, what's happening to our human relationships, right? And,
yeah.
and some of that, like, fear of people, you know, that they may give me the virus, they may have it, whatever. I think some of that is gonna continue.
Yeah.
But we're going to be more careful. But I guess it's good. I mean, we probably all wash our hands more and, you know, and are worried about germs. You know, I mean, that's probably good for our health in the long run. But this, you know, lack of human interaction, you know, and again, they talk about a mental health crisis
yeah.
following the pandemic. And I can see where that could happen. You know, people are so, you know, we were worried about isolation before and people are isolated. And I think we can stay connected, you know, virtually and on the phone and all that, but it's not the same as actual human touch, human react, you know, human interaction.
Yeah, I mean, you order a pizza now, and they put it, you know, for delivery, and they sneak up to the front porch, they put the pizza there, they run back to the, you don't even have time to tip them. Or thank them. You know, it's like,
yeah.
you know, I tell the kids if they're ordering the pizza, I say, put a tip on there on the bill already, you know, so that they you know, it's the human interaction has become, we're all suspects. You know, we're all suspects of disease, or we're going to give it to them. They're going to give it to us. And everybody's just on a mission. You go into the grocery store and it's like, oop, that line's too long. No, that line's, I don't want to go to that cereal line. Somebody just touched that box of cereal, you know, and put it back.
I know that when the people drop, when Amazon or you know, drops the boxes on the porch, you know, and they ring the bell, and then they're just gone.
They're gone.
So when I come to the door, I always try to call out, thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
I've never actually seen the person, but I know their voice, right, because they go, you're welcome, whatever. So, but yeah, I do think that that's a piece that we're going to have to figure out, right? What are the new cultural norms as we move forward, and how do we remain connected with people, and how do we maintain relationships and, you know, everything else? And I think we have these virtual tools, and, you know, relationships are going to change in the way we interact. I imagine a lot of family gatherings might stay, some family gatherings and interactions might stay virtual. You know, I think I shared with you last time I was on that my dad and my brothers and I, we played poker every Friday night on Zoom, you know, or we use this new poker site called PokerNow.club, and you can just play poker. It has video and audio. Your little picture is sitting next to your cards on the screen, and you can just play poker. And we played poker for 40 Fridays so far. I think
wow.
41. Last week was the 41st week, and we've had more interaction as my brothers and my dad than we've ever had since we were probably eight. You know, when I was still at home, you know, and my brothers are 2 and 4 years younger than me, so. You know, we were all at home, but then when I went off to college, that, you know, our interaction has been very little since then. So this is just it's been really weird.
That's wonderful.
We've had a lot more time together, shared a lot more than we have forever, right?
Yeah, we had a Zoom birthday party the other day, and cousins from Minnesota that they probably wouldn't have even come to the birthday party, you know, if they were here. Yeah, so it's great.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, there's things like that. We realize, again, we had all these tools before, and we never used them. Now we know how to use them, right? You know? I guess that's bad, right? Because they're going to go like, you can come to the birthday. Just turn on your Zoom. Turn on your phone.
Indeed. Indeed. Well,
no excuses. Harder to say no to stuff, right? Because everyone knows you can just Zoom in.
Indeed.
And you can just Zoom in for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Deacon, always glad to talk to you. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for keeping everything going and zooming in on everything. And we'll look forward to talking again soon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bob. Nice to talk to you, too. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Yeah. God bless. That's Deacon Kevin Saskow. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town, and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento, who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Lincoln. Thanks for all you do for our great Catholic schools here, which are up and running and have been for the whole year, and wonderful, wonderful results there. Well, we're pleased and honored to be joined by the Chancellor of the Diocese of Sacramento, Kathy Connor. Kathy, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob.
Good to hear your voice. Wish it was in person, but that day's coming.
It is. I'm feeling more hopeful every day.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. You know, somebody said to me the other day, it was one of my sisters. I have many sisters, too many. my older sister, and she said, "This God put us here now for a reason. You know, this isn't a mistake that we're here during this. So we need to respond."
That's right. That's right. And you know, today is the day.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's today. So
it is today. It's not like, well, I'll get around to that next week. No, today's the day we need to respond.
Yeah. So. No, and I've had to remind myself of that more than once, but that's my motto. Today is the day.
Oh, that's a good motto.
Yeah.
A good motto. Well, you have some news.
Yeah, we do, and I wanted to just trying to get this out and to hopefully lots of, there may be a listener out there. We actually, circumstance would have it, we have two open positions in the bishop's office in our administrative staff pool. One of my assistant, who's been with me for a little while, she actually got a promotion, and she's working with our Catholic Charities Department.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy for her. And then we have another one that's stepping away. So we have two executive administrative assistant positions open. And one only English is required. The other position, they do need to be fluent in both Spanish mm-hmm. and English. And, you know, here up here in the bishop's office, we have a team of four people, four administrative assistants. One is Gloria that does the exact, that helps Bishop Soto. Mm-hmm. She's his right hand with all his scheduling. But the other three positions help the rest of us, myself as chancellor, our vicar general, our coordinator of clergy formation. So the job is just quite a variety of answering phones, of helping process lots of things for our priests that come in. And so the big thing is good computer skills. A people person with good computer skills that wants to work for the church and assist the bishop in his ministry. So wanted to let you know these are available, and anyone that's interested and would like to see the actual job description, they can go to our website, which is scd.org, and look in the employment section, and they are the first two positions listed.
Very good, very good. And these are full-time positions?
These are both full-time. They're full-time. They're 35 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the hours are 8:30 to 4:30. And so it's not quite 40, but it's ideal for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a full benefits package, medical, dental, vision, quite a number of sick days. I think we have 13 paid holidays, so plus a fabulous working environment.
It is, you know, and I like the medical, dental, and vision because in addition to your eyes, this building, there is vision here.
Oh, that's true.
You know, there really is. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be here for 22 years now. And
wow.
I will tell you, or tell people who might be thinking about applying, this is a wonderful place to be. You're surrounded by people who really care about the rest of the world and care about our faith.
Yeah, they do. They want to be here. And
yep.
It's not perfect. But I tell you, I've worked in a number of places, and I just have met the best people here. And I really enjoy the people. So for those, again, that are interested, I hope you'll just take a look. And for many, some have lost jobs out there, and some may just be ready for a change to check it out.
And so normally it'd be Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30, that range?
8:30 to 4:30, that's
perfect.
Right. Our building is open Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 4:30, so these positions, we need people here ready at 8:30 to answer phones and start helping out.
And that's at 21st and Q in kind of Midtown.
Broadway.
I said 21st and Q.
Yeah.
That's the old Sacramento Bee's building.
Yeah.
21st and Broadway.
21st and Broadway. We have we have parking here for our employees. Some places in downtown, employees have to pay for their parking. That's not the case here.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking, and it's free. Yeah.
That's right. And sometimes some of the side benefits is, we have mass for some of our solemnities that are downstairs when we're able to in a large conference room that Bishop Soto celebrates, mm-hmm. and so there's some additional perks that you won't find in other jobs.
No, absolutely true. Absolutely yeah. true. And you don't have to be on the radio.
No, that's
but you
not,
can be.
And that's not a requirement.
If you get hungry, Pancake Circus is right across the street.
That's true. That's
yeah.
true. It certainly is.
And
the
waitresses there will always call you honey.
So. Well, the other thing, too, is we're right by an ARCO station, so I've seen many a person on their break walk around and
yes.
get a package of peanut M&Ms
exactly.
or a Coke or something such as that.
I have, my producer has done that a few times.
Aha, yes. Oh, good.
Well, Kathy, that's great news, and I know that two lucky people are going to be joining the staff here, and they'll be very fortunate.
We're actively looking for people, so I would tell people don't hesitate if you think you're interested to check it out today or tomorrow and get your resume in, and then there are some other forms I think that you'll be able to see to fill out. And someone in lay personnel is always available to help you through that process.
Very good. Very good. Well, thanks so much, Kathy. Thanks for all you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you in person one day soon.
Perfect. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
You bet.
Yeah, that's Kathy Connor, who is the chancellor for the Diocese of Sacramento. And again, go to scd.org and look at the employment. Two positions open that will really help Bishop Soto carry out his mission here in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley & Associates.